It sounds like the Giants might have nerfed Joe Shane. John Harbaugh has stepped in and completely overhauled this organization. When the Giants hired him, there was quite a debate here. Would Joe Shane remain with the Giants? Would he be moved out of his position? Would he adjust his role? How would it shape out with John Harbaugh taking over as the head coach and new leading boss of the New York Giants? Well, we've finally gotten some clarity on it. And to clarify, Joe Shane and John Harbaugh are working together collaboratively, and John Harbaugh told Ian O'Connor that Joe Shane has met his high expectations that he had for him. But at the same time, we're hearing other reports about how Joe Shane's role has greatly diminished, and he's no longer working in the same capacity that he was in the past. He's not handling the salary cap and the finances. He's essentially, according to Pat Leonard, been relegated to handling just scouting. So, big organizational changes, John Harbaugh running the show for the New York Giants, and Joe Shane seemingly taking a back seat as Don Aponte steps in as the new senior VP of football operations and strategy. Major changes for the Giants, so a major discussion underway here on Fireside Giants. I'm your co-host, Anthony Rivardo, and there's my other co-host, Alex Wilson. How are you doing today, Alex? And what's your reaction to John Harbaugh taking control of the organization and seemingly relegating Joe Shane to just scouting?
Doing pretty good. Back from the sun, now back in the cold. And listen, never a better time to talk about John Harbaugh and what he's doing with this organization. And like you said, Joe Shane, they neutered this poor man. He's delivering coffee now. It's crazy to see how, you know, this power complex, what he had before with Brian Daboll, what he had with everybody else in this organization, he is now second fiddle to John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh said, and we saw it in the Ian O'Connor article, the big hang-up essentially was John Harbaugh saying to John Mara, I want to report directly to you. That's what I've been doing with the Ravens all these years. I don't want to report to Joe Shane. I want to be directly contacted and in connection with ownership. That way there's no muddying of the perspective. I think that's what Joe Shane did a lot of what the last couple years. He would deliver news to Joe Shane based on his perspective and maybe not on the team perspective, maybe not even on Brian Daboll's perspective, but on Joe's perspective. And I think that is a humongous communication flaw. So I'm glad that John Harbaugh now has a direct link to ownership. Joe can't hide behind everybody else now. He can't throw everybody else underneath the bus to save himself. He is now accountable for his actions, and the Mara family is going to be directly in communication with Harbaugh on exactly what's happening here. So I think that's really good. Don Aponte, obviously now he is answering to John Harbaugh. He's not. I mean, that's crazy. We're talking about like the main person negotiating contracts, football operations, all that stuff. Is now directly, you know, they're directly linked to John Harbaugh, not Joe Shane. Joe Shane's a general manager. He's an executive assistant. Like, I know they'll work together. Obviously, there'll be communication, but she doesn't answer to Joe. Like, John Harbaugh is the GM and head coach right now from a paper standpoint. That's what it really feels like. I mean, Harbaugh yesterday or the other day talking about Caleb Downs, how, oh, I would love to take him. You know, he's talking about draft prospects already. Joe's been walked over, man. This is a humongous changing of power here. Like, I think that we should be really excited and happy about this. If you're not happy with the coaching hires of John Harbaugh, that's fine. But you got to be happy with Joe Shane being stuffed in a locker and said, stay in your role, stay in your lane, buddy. You're no longer running this team. I am. I think that's exactly where we want it to be as Giants fans right now.
Well, I think so too, in part. But also, I think it's important to clarify that John Harbaugh has the most experience out of any head coach that was available this offseason. Like, if you're hesitant about this, if you're questioning whether or not the head coach should have all the power, this is obviously a major deviation from the norm for the New York Giants. A head coach has never ran the show for the Giants. It's always been the general manager running things with the head coach reporting to the GM. This was a change of a 100-year tradition that the New York Giants held within that organization. Always the GM reported directly to ownership and the head coach reported to the GM. Now they both equally report to ownership. It's a major change, again, undoing 100 years of history for the New York Giants organizational structure. But why that's a good thing is because Joe Shane has been a GM now for 4 years, and he's had his ups and downs and made a lot of mistakes for 4 years. But what he has argued is, I'm a first-time GM, and I am learning on my feet. I have made mistakes, but I'm trying to learn from them, and I'm trying to become a good GM. Maybe I'm not right now, but maybe I can be if you guys give me more time and have some patience. That is the argument that Joe Shane made at his press conference at the bye week, right? I've made some mistakes, but I'm learning from them. Well, you know who's already made all those mistakes, learned from them, and become a legend in his own right? John Harbaugh. That's why he is running the show. And that's why this is a good thing for Joe Shane to take this back seat, or really to sit in the passenger seat next to John Harbaugh. Now you've got Joe Shane learning from John Harbaugh, becoming a better GM because John Harbaugh is showing him what to do, learning how to scout, learning how to negotiate with Don Aponte, who is a master negotiator that has been working in the NFL for the better part of the last three decades, whether at the team level or at the NFL level in the league office. She's got all of that experience, and she can give that experience and that knowledge to Joe Shane and make him a better general manager. So I think this is important to note. This benefits Joe Shane, taking this sideways step, sitting in the passenger seat, no longer driving the car. This is important, but it's very beneficial for Joe Shane and the rest of the organization. This is a team that really needed stability. They needed experience. They needed a guy to rebuild the program, as we've said. John Harbaugh is that guy. He can rebuild the program. He's been there. He's done it. And he's done it time and time again over two decades with the Baltimore Ravens. So now Joe Shane gets to learn from all of that experience, learn from these great front office executives, plus John Harbaugh, that Harbaugh has brought in. And he could become a better general manager in his own right. I want to get your take on that, Alex. Do you agree with me? I think the way we've looked at Joe Shane is we've been very critical of him, but we've also admitted there's a lot that he's done we really like. I think drafting Jackson Dart is an obvious plus. Abdul Carter, Malik Nabers, Tyrone Tracy Jr. in the fifth round was a steal. The 2022 draft class at first looked bad, but now all of a sudden you've got Wandale Robinson coming out of it. You've got Cordell Flott coming out of it. He's done some good things. He's done some bad things, but what he's needed is guidance to learn and become a better GM. How do you feel about John Harbaugh potentially being a mentor now to Joe Shane and making him a better GM in the long run?
I mean, that's why he basically was able to keep his job. I think that Joe Shane understood one thing. Survival means stepping into a role that is more of a learning situation than an active kind of, like, he's the power. Like, he's the guy that's going to be, he's like in this God complex. Like, no longer is he in that God complex. Now he's in that learning mode. I failed. Like, he failed. Objectively, over 4 years, he failed. Yes, you're right. He did make some good moves. He did get some good talent, but I don't want to applaud him for picking top 10 every single year and getting good players. Like, John Harbaugh has picked one time in top 10, and I'm not, like, belittling your opinion, obviously, at all. I'm more so just kind of suggesting that Joe Shane frequently found himself in a position where he was picking in the top 10 and had basically the highest probability of landing a star. Abdul Carter, you know, obviously Malik Nabers, and, you know, he flopped hard on guys like Evan Neal. Kayvon, I'd say, is probably not worth his draft pick right now. Maybe, you know, one good season would get him there. More consistency with less injury. But John Harbaugh was picked in the top 10 once in his entire head coaching career, 18 years. Once. And it was like 10 years ago, maybe longer. This dude is a fifth overall pick for the first time in his career. He's probably looking at these guys, and he said it best. Those guys in the top five, the guy we pick better be a gold jacket player. That's what he thinks. He's like, if you're drafting in the top five, that guy better be a Hall of Fame caliber player. That's what he perceives as top five pick. That's what a top five pick means to him. That guy better be a freaking Hall of Famer. Like, the Giants have been just throwing darts at the board, and they get lucky a couple times. And I think, Joe Shane, you're right. This is a massive opportunity for him to learn what a winning culture looks like, to learn what, like, a strategic perspective of roster building looks like, not just throwing darts at a dartboard, but schematically, like, driven BPA. Really, you're going BPA, but those players you're going BPA are also going to fit your system and style. You know what I mean? So I think that they really like, they have a nice blend. John Harbaugh understands what he wants, but a lot, he's also of the mind, we're just going to draft a really good player and we're going to find a way to make them fit. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the Caleb Downs perspective, is like, I think he kind of fits any defense, to be quite fair. But in this specific instance, you draft him, you're like, we'll find a place for this kid. He's that good. So I think that John Harbaugh is going to teach a lot to Joe Shane about roster building, what communication is supposed to look like, what power complexes are supposed to look like, and respect. Because that front office for the Giants, they didn't generate much respect over the last couple of years. In fact, we had more guys trying to get out of our organization than trying to stay in it. You know, Wink Martindale, the Wilkins brothers, how many guys have been like, get me the hell out of here? Even Mike Kafka was like, let me go. They forced him to stay last year too. Like, people have been trying to get out. I think Joe Shane had to learn a couple of valuable lessons on what culture means, what culture looks like, what discipline looks like, and how to treat people. And I think he's probably taken a couple of hints already from John Harbaugh. And Harbaugh, the way he's speaking about Joe, in my opinion, he's speaking about him as if he's his assistant. You know what I mean? The language he's using, it sounds more like they're at the same level, if not John Harbaugh's higher, and Joe Shane's there just to support him. And that's a good sign, in my opinion. I think that definitely bodes well for his learning phase of his career.
He's speaking about Joe Shane as if Joe Shane's his student, as if he's mentoring him, which really ties into what I was saying earlier. And again, I think is a great thing for Joe Shane. Learn from one of the best, to learn from a guy who helped develop over the last two decades the best organization, arguably, in the NFL. Many regard the Baltimore Ravens as such. But you said some things there about culture and about winning culture. So this is what I want to hit on. I've always been critical of Joe Shane for one half of being a general manager. This is the argument that I've made before, Alex. There are two sides to being a GM. There's the roster building side. And on that side, I think that Joe Shane's actually done a pretty decent job. I would argue that the Giants roster today is better than it was when he inherited it 4 years ago. Now, they haven't won the same amount of games, but that kind of leads you into the second side of being a GM, which is building a winning culture. That is where, fundamentally, Joe Shane has failed, in my opinion. He has not built a winning culture. That's why the New York Giants were losing games. You had players giving up. You had bad coaches. You had coaches putting players out of position. You had coaches coaching out of position, as we discussed in a recent episode. There was a cultural issue with the New York Giants, a losing culture. That is an indictment on the general manager. So while people would always argue in the comment sections and say, hey, the Giants roster is better, Joe Shane has done his job, how can you say he's a bad general manager? I say because that's only one half of the job. Because yes, you can build a good roster, but if you don't get the wins out of that better roster that you built, you're not doing the second half of the job, which is building the winning culture. But that's where the Giants bring in John Harbaugh to offset that. So now Shane has been reportedly relegated to scouting. He's going to scout. He's going to bring in the talent, finds the talent for the roster. But John Harbaugh is going to put that talent in place, going to bring in the culture to maximize that talent, to develop that talent. So now you're only taking the strengths of Joe Shane, you're leaving the weaknesses behind, and you're bringing in all of the strengths of John Harbaugh to hopefully improve Joe Shane's weaknesses and make him a better GM in the long run. So I think this is good for Joe Shane, as I've said several times now throughout this episode, but the more that I talk about it, the more I realize he might not be a good general manager right now, but he's done some good things. And now with John Harbaugh helping rebuild the program and culture, in a couple of years' time, we might look at Joe Shane as a very good general manager in this league. Might. I'm going to say might, because there's also a chance that things don't go according to plan. And hey, Donna Ponte, she's doing a lot of general managing for this team now. There is a very real chance that this is an in-house succession plan, that the Giants don't make the playoffs in 2026. John Harbaugh decides to tell ownership, move on from Joe Shane. They do that, and then Donna Ponte takes over as the general manager. That is completely possible now, and that would give the Giants complete synergy between the head coach and the general manager, because Donna Ponte, according to Ian O'Connor of The Athletic, was recruited into the organization by John Harbaugh. Harbaugh played the large role in hiring Aponte into the senior front office executive role to fill the place of Kevin Abrams, who was a guy that was kept on the staff by Joe Shane and has been with the Giants for three decades, a darling in that organization. They move on from him, and they bring in Don Aponte instead. So I think that that could be an in-house succession plan. Alex, do you agree with me? Is that a possibility?
It absolutely could be. I mean, Joe Shane's looking around right now and thinking, I don't know any of these people. You know, his front office just got torn to shreds. Kevin Abrams gone. Everyone's gone. The whole staff that he constructed or he inherited from previous regime is gone, right? He is looking around like, this is not even my team anymore. This is the New York Ravens. You know, I mean, this is a totally different style that the Giants are trying to run here. Harbaugh's got full control of this roster. You know what I mean? Like, and if you're Joe Shane, you're probably pretty happy about that, right? You're probably thinking to yourself, well, I don't have to deal with the craziness of Brian Daboll getting into almost fist fights with Mark Colombo or fist fights with Wink Martindale. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to worry about Brian Daboll going crazy, throwing a tablet at Daniel Jones after an interception. Like, I don't have to worry about the hothead anymore. Harbaugh's got that covered, which, in my opinion, makes Joe Shane's job so much simpler. Maintain, adjust, support, and scout. That's it. That's all Harbaugh. That's all Joe Shane has to do now. Just scout and support. That's basically what his job is now. He's getting paid the same to do half the work he was doing. Harbaugh's now doing all of it. He's now doing all of the roster construction. He's doing a good chunk of the scouting. He's doing a lot of the actual front office building, the primary like financial people, the coordinators, the assistants. They're all his decisions, right? Joe Shane's sitting there like, what do I even have to do? This is the best job in the world. This dude might have a 5-year spell right now with the Giants with John Harbaugh under contract where he has to do jack shit. Excuse my language. But that's what Joe Shane's role has been mitigated to. And that's great because he was known to be a more of a scout, you know, with the Bills way back when he was coming up through the ranks. So this is where he belongs. Scouting, going to see college players. This draft is chock full of receivers. Right, so I know a lot of people want Jordan Tyson, and obviously, like, you know, they want Carnell Tate or Mekhi Lemon. There are a lot of really good receivers in this draft class. So, like, if I'm John Harbaugh, I'm like, Joe, your ass is getting on the road. You are going and you're scouting, you're gathering intel while I construct the roster, while I build out the front office, and you're going to show up, you're going to come back, you're not going to know a single person. And that's what Joe's looking around right now, like, who the hell are these people? But that means it's John Harbaugh's show. And that's exactly where we want it to be. And now we can put Joe Shane in a position where he can maximize his strengths instead of leveraging his weaknesses.
For sure. And again, I do want to add in, though, John Harbaugh said that Joe Shane has met his expectations so far. Harbaugh said to Ian O'Connor that he set very high expectations for Joe Shane, and so far, Shane has met and exceeded those expectations. Whether it comes to strategy or it comes to getting interviews or whatever it is, he's done a great job in John Harbaugh's eyes so far. But as you mentioned, a lot of what he's doing now for John Harbaugh is scouting, is assisting. He's an assistant to the head coach in many ways now, which again is a major deviation from the way that the Giants operated for the last, not decade, not two decades, 100 years. The last century, the New York Giants have been operating one way, and John Harbaugh steps in and completely flipped the script. So I give credit to ownership for making that change, recognizing that it was time to make that change, and I give a lot of credit to John Harbaugh for stepping in, refusing to waver from that stance of him needing to be the guy to run the show, and thankfully, he is running the show. And now I have hope and optimism for the New York Giants as we move forward. But Alex, it was a great article written by Ian O'Connor, friend of the channel. If you guys didn't see the Ian O'Connor interview that we did on the channel prior to John Harbaugh getting hired, he dropped loads of information about the John Harbaugh saga, and we're planning on having him back on again soon, so stay tuned for that. But Alex, what else stood out to you from the latest Ian O'Connor article about John Harbaugh's first 30 days as the head coach of the New York Giants? I'll add one more tidbit of information before I let you give yours. 4 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's what John Harbaugh's been doing.
That's what I was going to say.
Insane work ethic, brother. Clocking in at 4 and leaving at 8. I mean, that's the kind of winning mentality that we need, right?
Dude, if you're a player and your head coach is there at 4 in the morning and leaving at after 8 p.m., you're feeling pressure. You know what I mean? You're feeling pressure. You're feeling like, all right, this head coach, he's 63 years old, bro. 63. He's in there working out. He's in there, like, you know, pumping iron, getting shit done. Like, if you're a player, you're an assistant, or you're a coordinator, you're like, I got my ass better be in the freaking building before the sun shows up. You know what I mean? That level of leadership. And by the way, you know, I think it's also important to note, you know, Harbaugh doesn't have any young kids, right? He has Allison Harbaugh is his daughter, and I think she's already graduated college, so she's on her own doing her thing. Brian Daboll has young kids, right? Joe Shane had young kids, right? So, like, John Harbaugh is not, he's not, like, worried about, like, spending time with family. Like, he's like, I'm getting my ass in the building. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I mean, it does play a part. Like, don't, you know, these guys are human beings. John Harbaugh's life is football. You know, the quote that really stood out to me from Harbaugh in this article was, I have a vision, like, wow, I want it. I want to see that. I want to be in that parade in New York. This dude is motivated to be a Super Bowl winning organization here with the Giants. One of the concerns I had about him was that he was a bit older, right? People say, you know, he's 63, he's a little older. This dude jumped right in. He's moving his home. Like, he had to move across the country, right? Or not across the country. He had to move a couple states, but move his home, go to a new place, adjust, put together an entire coaching staff, have all of these meetings and interviews. His work ethic has not faltered at all. I think that was kind of my biggest concern about John Harbaugh was, how much does he have left in the tank? How much does he have left to give to this organization to turn things around? I have been nothing but ecstatic and super inspired about how much and how hard he's worked so far to put this roster together, to put the front office together, to get Joe Shane in shape, to make sure this team is heading in the right direction from all points. That was my biggest concern, and he has alleviated those concerns easily. So I'm pretty optimistic about this. In terms of the article itself, that was the point I was going to make. This dude's in the freaking room at 4 a.m. He's leaving after 8 p.m. He's got this Ravens-Giants kind of hybrid workout cycle, explosion, core strength. This dude's nearly like a bench pressing 335. He's 63. Like, this is pretty freaking crazy, man. I mean, he had to pivot hard after Monken left. Like, he thought that would be easy, and he still managed to put together a really encouraging, experienced staff with lots of upside here. I mean, I'm excited, man. I think that this article from O'Connor shows exactly the type of work ethic that we were a bit like, does he have it left in the tank? Is he older now? Is he going to put that in? Yes, he is. He is more than capable. That is very clear, and that was my biggest concern.
Yeah, and a lot of fans could make the pessimistic assumption that a coach at 63 years old who's already won a Super Bowl and had all the success could get complacent, doesn't walk into this new organization hungry to rebuild it and go for the parade, go for the Super Bowl, right? But that's not the case here. I think a lot of fans who were negative about the Harbaugh hiring pointed to Las Vegas and said, well, look at Pete Carroll. That didn't work out. And I think it's important to remind people, Pete Carroll is 10 years older than John Harbaugh is. Yeah, Harbaugh's old at 63 years old. He's one of the oldest head coaches in the NFL. And a lot of the top coaches in the NFL are, granted, in their 30s and 40s. But even still, the Pete Carroll comparison didn't make a ton of sense to me. And also, you're not going to find any articles about Pete Carroll's first 30 days in Las Vegas that stack up to this one from Ian O'Connor about John Harbaugh's first 30 days in New York. Harbaugh got to work, prove that he's not complacent, and prove that he is starving for greater success and wants to have that success here in New York. He wants to bring another parade to Manhattan. That's what he's hoping to do. Again, you didn't see that kind of commitment immediately over in Las Vegas with Pete Carroll, so it's not a fair comparison. And I think so far, John Harbaugh has proven his dedication and his hunger, his starvation for even more success to cap off his career with. So one of the last details that I want to highlight from this article, Alex, is actually on that point, John Harbaugh talking about his conversation with Tom Coughlin and what he's hoping to achieve with the New York Giants. Here's the quote from John Harbaugh that I'll read directly. Quote, I've heard people say the parade in New York is the most incredible thing ever. Coach Coughlin told me that, and I have a vision like, wow, I want it. I want to see that. I want to be in that parade, end quote. And I think that if that doesn't get you excited, what will? John Harbaugh directly talking about the vision that he has to build a roster that can win a Super Bowl and bring a parade to New York City. That's what I want to see. That's what John Harbaugh wants to see. That's what Tom Coughlin wants to see. I mean, that's just one of the most exciting quotes that we've gotten so far from the start of the John Harbaugh era. Am I right about that one, Alex?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those type of words, they just elevate the energy. They get you giddy, right? Talking about a Super Bowl in New York, a parade. Dude, we can't even make the fucking playoffs. Like, excuse my language. I'm getting a little crazy today because we have a guy that brings a floor of 8 wins, right? A floor of 8 wins. Imagine what that, as a Giants fan, imagine going to a game in November or even October, not even freaking December, and feeling like it means something, you know? You know, so, some of you guys are international, the fans of Fireside Giants, some of you guys live nearby the stadium. Imagine going to the stadium and having meaningful football in November and December. We haven't had that in almost a generation, like a freaking decade. It's been a decade, right? In that time, I've had a kid. And like, it's massive. The podcast started in 7 years ago. And since then, we've been to the playoff one time. And it was basically a one and done. You know, it was a one and done, right? We beat the Vikings and we literally get launched by the Eagles. It wasn't even a competitive game. We have been watching 4 straight years of below average football, 3 straight years of below average football, well below average. John Harbaugh knows what a winning organization looks like. And I don't even care about the parades, let alone competitive football in the latter portion of the season. That's all I really want to see. That's my expectation for year one is competitive football in November and December. Even if we don't make the playoffs in year one, I expect us to be competitive. There is nothing that convinces me that the Washington Commanders are going to have some massive uprising and be dominant in 2026. The Cowboys are the Cowboys. They have no money to spend. They got lots of holes on the roster. Their defense was historically bad this past season. Injuries all over the place. I don't see them as a massive threat either. The Eagles, their team's about to explode. AJ Brown's posting whatever he's posting about the Giants, and Nick Sirianni is like hated by half the team. Nobody wants to run the tush push anymore. They hate it. Like, this NFC East is open for the taking, Anthony. I don't know about you guys, but if there was ever a time for the Giants to strike, it's right now. And Harbaugh's the perfect person to lead them back to relevancy. We're not talking about a high upside hire that could be just insane. We're talking about a guy that's going to elevate your floor from 3 wins or 4 wins to 8 to 9 to 10. That is what will win the NFC East for the next couple of years, right? Just being consistently competitive. And these teams don't see us coming. That's the thing. They're used to us being a walkover team. They're used to showing up to our house or welcoming us to theirs and beating the living crap out of us. That is what we've been over the last couple seasons. So, you know, yeah, Anthony, I'm pretty freaking excited because we're not going to be trampled anymore. This is going to be a competitive product, and these teams are about to experience a different era of Giants football, and that it should be really exciting for the fans, and I know I'm certainly excited heading into free agency in a couple weeks.
100%. I'm so excited. I mean, free agency is going to be awesome for the Giants because they don't have a ton of cap space going into this offseason, but that's why it's going to be exciting because they're going to have to make some cap space. So they're going to have to make some very strategic decisions, and we're going to be able to react to them, recap them, and break them all down on the channel, which I'm super excited for. Whether they're cutting this player, extending that player, restructuring this contract, whatever, we're going to have a lot to discuss. And then that's just pre-free agency. Then free agency starts and the games begin. Who will the Giants sign? Who do they trade for? Who do they trade away? All of those things. I saw a report from Adam Schefter a week ago, Alex, and this is one that I want to discuss on the channel, maybe even tomorrow. Adam Schefter said there's going to be a lot of trades this year because teams view this free agency and this draft class as being somewhat subpar. So expect to see a flurry of trades at the start of free agency. That's exciting. We know Joe Shane likes to make trades. Does John Harbaugh like to make those trades too? Will they do that collaboratively? Will the Giants get trade hungry at the start of free agency? Possibly. So there's going to be a lot of fun things to discuss and break down and speculate over in the coming weeks here. And then there's going to be a lot of news to break down and analyze for the New York Giants once free agency is officially beginning on March 11th. So less than a month away, guys. Can't wait for it. And again, if you liked what you watched today, stay tuned for plenty more here on Fireside Giants. Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.